Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center. I am Pastor Marquise Franklin, and I am excited that you would take the time to listen to our latest sermons and what God is doing in this ministry. New Creation Christian Center is in Seattle, led by Pastor Harold and Annis Franklin. And our statement is, come as you are and be transformed by the word of God, as stated in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Now, I don't know what you're going through, but I want you to be encouraged by the word of God that is going to be shared today. Check it out and share it with somebody that may need it. Now, let's get into this week's message.
Hallelujah. Somebody say praise the Lord. All right. It's always a privilege and an honor to be in the house of God. Amen. I'm just going to preach what God has been putting on my heart lately. Last week, I talked about reverence for God, making sure we have the proper reverence for God, for who he is and what he has done in our lives. Amen. So I'm gonna go ahead and pray, and I'm gonna get going, and we're not gonna be here that long. Heavenly Father, I thank you to God for the opportunity to share your word. Oh God, I pray to God that today that your word would continue to build us into believers, strong believers, into people that walk by faith and not by sight, into people that honor you with all that you've given in our lives, oh God. So we thank you for today, and we glorify you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Let everybody say amen. All right. So my theme scripture, like I said last week, was Psalm 33, verse 8. And it said, let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the people of the world revere him. Amen. And it's important to make sure we are doing that. Now, I think as we continue to go through life, there's going to be people who begin to, and we see it now, they begin to disrespect God. Have you ever been around some people that disrespect God? They disrespect his name. They disrespect what he did, dying on the cross. They mock him. And guess what? That happened while Jesus was alive, right? And Jesus even told his believers and his followers that you will be ridiculed for you believing in me. Now, as time goes on, as we're waiting on the return of the Lord, we see more and more people blatantly begin to disrespect God. Right now it's funny. You know, there was a rapper about a year ago, and he went on a radio show and he said, "Put some respect on my name." Right, but he didn't say respect. He said respect on my name. Right, and he was like, "Y'all gotta respect my name." Right, but we must do the same thing when it comes to God. And I believe that believers have to show the world what it means to respect God. Amen. Because guess what? They're not just going to learn it by themselves. So how do we learn to respect God? We have to get in his word, see the way that God acted and reacted, even in the Old Testament, towards some people. Right. Because guess what? That sometimes we saw God's immediate judgment in the Old Testament. Thank God for grace and mercy that he ain't giving us immediate judgment, right? Because we all would be messed up, tore up from the floor up. You know what I mean? So it is a great thing that God is moving in our lives. And that's what we have to do. We have to make sure we respect God, okay? So today we're talking about respect. Let's go to Matthew chapter 21. Verse 33. Okay. There's nothing I could do right now. Matthew 21, verse 33. I'm sorry, 33. And we're going to look at this parable of the wicked vine dressers. Now, guess what? Just to make it plain, some of us have been the wicked vine dressers. All right? Jesus is sharing this story to share how people respond to him. All right? Check this out. It says, hear another parable. There was a certain landowner who planted a vineyard and set a hedge around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a tower. And he leased it to vine dressers and went into a far country. Now, we know that if we look at it like this, God created everything. He set up the earth, and he gave us the ability to do whatever we need to do. This is kind of what's happening here. And he said he allowed people to lease what it is that he created. Guess what? God is allowing us to lease this earth because we don't own it. Got it? God owns everything. Even though we got rent and mortgage on certain things, God is the creator. Verse 34 says, now when the vintage time drew near, he sent his servants to the vine dressers that they might receive its fruit. All right. And the vine dressers took his servants, beat one, killed one, and stoned another. So what's going on here? God is sending people to collect. Now, guess what? I like the fact that God does it. He's intentional with the things that they're collecting. What are they coming to collect? Fruit. Right? A vine dressers. Vine dressers are dressing vines. He's sending servants to collect the fruit. Okay? But guess what they do? They say, nah, we beat one. We kill one and stone the other. So hopefully the one that got stoned, he might have just dodged death. You know, because he got hit with a brick or something. It was like, oh, I better go back to the headmaster. But what we see is they don't respect who God sends. Okay? Now, many times we can look at that and be like, oh, well, it's gonna be bad. Because and what begins to happen is we begin to say, I'm not gonna go be the one that God sends because I don't want that disrespect. But see, God still wants you to go. That's the thing about the servants that God sent in this parable. They still were going. They still were doing what God called them to do. Now, what's crazy is even in dying, that was the mission that God gave them. Right? Because they respected and honored God so much that they said, it doesn't matter what happens there, I'm still going to go. You got to look at it. First of all, if the one got beat and came back, and God said, okay, wait, man, that's crazy. You, can you go? Some people will be like, nah. Do you see him? He still got bruises from what just happened, right? Let's say the guy that got killed, after he got killed, another one was sent. Why? Because God wanted to collect the fruit. What does the fruit represent in our lives? People. It can represent people, but it can also represent our obedience to God. God is always, you remember that he cursed the tree because it didn't produce fruit. Why? Because that was its job. Our job as believers is to produce fruit unto holiness so that God is glorified in our lives daily. Amen. So these were sent, and then he says, and again, he sent other servants. So guess what? It talked about the one that was beat, killed, and stoned, and then it just says other servants. So then it says he sent more than the first, and they did likewise to them because they didn't respect him. Then, last of all, he said, he sent his son to them saying, they will respect my son. But when the vine dressers saw the son, they said to themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him and seize his inheritance. All right. So they took him and cast him out of the vineyard and killed him. Therefore, when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those vine dressers? Okay, so I think my dad was talking about this a couple of weeks ago. When these people said, let's kill the heir, right? They still forget that the owner is still alive, right? You don't just inherit something because you killed somebody's son. But guess what? Their logic is wrong because of disrespect. You ever been around somebody that disrespects authority and they think they can do things their own way? And maybe you haven't, but we see it maybe on TV. They begin to think that they can do things their own way because disrespect is clouding their hearts and their minds, and it's making them put themselves in the place of respect. All of us are going to respect something, right? Right, Monica? All of us respect something. Some some of us respect, it might just be one thing some people respect, but everybody respects something. As I talked about many times as we went downtown, we would go consistently, and there was one guy, he came to us, and he was like, man, I've been watching you guys for about 6 months, right? I see you guys here all the time. And he said, I respect the fact that you guys are for real about God. And he was like, because there's not a lot of people that come down here and continually focus on what you're here for. And I was like, wow. Like, me and Tammy were like, wow, that's crazy that he can see this. Because guess what? People are looking for consistency in what you believe. That's why it's very damaging to the body of Christ when somebody's, oh, jumping up for God. Oh, I love God. I praise God. And then they fall away. Right? Because if you had so much respect and you so much admiration for God and then you fall away, all they see is the fall away. Right? All they see is, man, he wasn't for real. That's what begins to happen. But we must make sure in our hearts, in our minds, that we respect God more than anything. Right? Another word that I can put in place of respect is we honor God more than anything. Honoring God consistently would allow our lives to honor God. Right? As we honor God with our whole heart, our whole mind, our spirit, it allows us to get to a place where we are constantly giving God praise and not accepting the praise. We give it to God. Amen. It's so important that we get there, because this is what it looks like when you respect and honor God. When you have this heart, people see that in you. It is no longer, oh, he's just going to church because it's a popular thing. And you know, it's not really popular in our area. Right. But there's people that live in the Bible Belt where it's just a common thing to go to church. Right. It's a common thing to say certain things. But if you don't honor God, people see it. There's a difference. There's a difference between coming to sit in church, hearing a good sermon versus somebody that really honors God in their life. And we as the body of Christ have to respect that. Amen. And show that so people outside will know it. Because guess what? They think, hey, here's the heir coming. Let's get rid of him. And they might not be trying to kill us, but they're trying to kill what we stand for. Catch that? They're not always trying to kill you physically, but they're trying to kill what you believe. That's why you got people, oh, atheism. Atheism is the ultimate form of disrespect to God. Because what it says is there is no God. And really, well, if there is a God, why this, right? This is kind of what happens when you talk to an atheist. Well, if there is a God, why this, right? Well, you can ask them, well, if there is a you, why this? Why do you let it happen, right? But what begins to happen is they have lost respect for God to the point where they deny him. Right. And the Bible even says this about demons. It says demons know that there's a God and shudder. But when you just say there is no God, when your proof that you try to prove of evolution is inconsistent. Right. When you try to do these things, what begins to happen is you are just building disrespect up against God. And that's a dangerous thing to do. Once again, thank God that he has given us time to accept him, time to come to him, because we all were in that mindset, right? We all, Monica, were you like that at one time, Monica? Right. Okay, there we go. So I think that it is very important that we learn to lead this world to respecting God. Okay, it says in verse 41, they said to him, he will destroy those wicked men miserably and leave his vineyard to other vine dressers who will render to him the fruits in their season. Said Jesus said to them, have you never read the scriptures? The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. All right, so Now Jesus, he tells them what would happen. He stops the story and tells them what's going to happen. He's like, what do you think is going to happen? Well, the owner's going to come and throw them out, get rid of them. And he's going to put somebody in there that is going to what? Produce fruit. He's going to get somebody that's going to produce fruit in their season. And it didn't just say season. It says seasons, right? Now, I don't know. I mean, I think some fruits can grow all year round. But the thing about that, when we look at even spiritually, it's not just one season that we're here for. Anybody heard somebody say, it's not your season yet, right? Well, guess what? God sees, he says he wants you to produce in your seasons, right? And guess what? Every season is not going to be the same. There's going to be seasons where you barely know, but the stuff that you barely know is going to be enough to help somebody that doesn't know anything at all, right? If somebody is starving and you have a meal and you're just sitting in front of them, are you not going to give them something to eat? Right? Is somebody going to feed the person to help me out? If you got food and the person is sitting right next to you is starving, would you give them some of your food? Oh, man. Some people are like, no, absolutely not. No, yeah, we would give him something to eat, especially if you see the effects of him starving, right? Spiritually, it's the same thing. Spiritually, there's people all around us that are starving in need of the fruit that you have that God has given you in your life. They need to hear the message of the gospel, but we have to share it. And it comes back to, what do we respect? What do we honor? Do we honor God, or are we just trying to make sure that we're honored among men? Because I even say this sometimes, many times we don't share the gospel. I haven't shared the gospel because I'm worried about what they think or what they're going to think. I don't know if I got any other witnesses, but sometimes that's how it is, right? And what begins to happen is the spirit is telling you to say something, and you're like, I don't know, spirit God, hey, hold up. He might not really accept that the way, but guess what? Maybe I was that servant that was sent that was to be rejected, right? Now, guess what? I've shared the gospel. I've told people that Jesus loves you, and there's some people that'll cuss you out just for saying something like that. Yell at you. Say a whole bunch of words, choice words. But guess what? I was sent. See, sometimes we're so worried about if they accept what we come to bring versus just being obedient to what God says. And guess what? That makes us almost kind of like those people that rejected the servants if we reject what God tells us to do. Now, that's kind of deep, right? If God tells us to do something and we reject it and be like, yeah, not right now, stiff arm. I got to go this way, Lord. Let me go this way. You know, let me spin. Hey, he ain't talking to me, right? But God is saying the same thing. Are you going to accept what he has sent you to do? Because that's going to produce fruit in your life. But then Jesus says, he breaks it down and he says, okay, they have rejected the chief cornerstone, which is him, right? The chief cornerstone. Now, in a building, the cornerstone is the foundation of everything. Everything is on that. If the cornerstone is messed up, you cannot build a building if there's no bricks on the sides, on the corners. It will fall, right? And I'm not a carpenter, but if you just keep building stuff and take that out, something's going to happen. I'm not going to say that. But anyway, something's going to happen. But it said they rejected that. But this was God's doing. That's interesting because sometimes you see, okay, God created something that they were going to reject. Why? Is that because their hearts are evil? Most likely, the Bible says all men's hearts are evil. That's why it's even as believers, it's important that we don't always just follow our heart. We have to say, God, okay, my prayer, you guys hear me say this all the time. Create in me a clean heart, oh God. Renew a right spirit within me. Why? Because I don't want my heart to be defiled and defile my relationship with God. Amen? It's very important. Verse 43 says, therefore I say to you, the kingdom of God will be taken from you and given to a nation bearing the fruits of it. And whoever falls on the stone will be broken, but on whomever it falls, it will grind him to powder. Okay. Now, what is that saying? What is going on? We're going to go to the Amplified version for that. Is that all right? Why? Because we wanted to open it up. All right. Verse 43 says, I tell you for this reason, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people who will produce the fruits of it. And whoever falls on this stone will be broken to pieces, but he on whom it falls will be crushed to powder, and it will winnow him, scattering him like dust. Okay. Now, what is this saying? That if you don't accept God, the Son, the cornerstone, it will destroy you. That's what it is saying. But if it says if you fall on that, guess what? If you build something upon that, when it says fall on it, yeah, it will break you, right? Because all of us need to be broken. But it won't destroy you.
We're just halfway through this sermon, but our prayer is that God is already speaking a dynamic word to you personally. But don't keep it to yourself. We need you to testify. We want to hear what God is doing. Give us a call or text us at 425-686-8197 to let us know what God is doing. If you're on Facebook, contact us at facebook.com/newcreationcc or on Twitter at newcreationwa. Now, let's tune in for the second half of this sermon.
It will break you, but it won't destroy you. Sometimes, okay, I got to share this. My daughter yesterday, we were playing in her last basketball game this year, and she got a little bit emotional after the end of the game, right, Kayla? Yeah, just say I did, right? Okay, so I was using this as a teaching moment because I wanted her to know that I wasn't upset with her, but she knew that she could do better, right, Kayla? She knew that she could be better, and she's all being bashful right now. But what I will say is she was broken in that moment, but instead of breaking her down, I said, okay, now use that same feeling that you have so the next time you play better, right? I don't know about you, but if something has ever been taken from you, if you get it again, you're going to try all you can to make sure you keep it, right? That you were broken the first time, but the second time you're like, hold up, I can't let that happen again. Right? Now the great thing about God breaking us is he's breaking us to produce the best us that there can be. Amen. Amen? Some people just thinking about bones breaking and I don't know about that, you know, but sometimes you have to learn from being broken. And what God does is he breaks us to make us. Amen? Amen. He breaks us to make us into what he really created us to be. But many times, if we reject him, we destroy our lives. We destroy. I'm talking just to believers right now. We have to make sure we are not rejecting God continually. And if we have rejected God, we say, God, forgive me. I didn't know what I was doing. Or even if I did know what I was doing, Lord, help me to accept your word. Help me to accept what you want me to do. And that's a daily prayer. You guys look at the Psalms with David, and he wrote a lot of them. He didn't write all of them. But when you think about David, there was plenty of times that he was broken. Plenty of times he's trying to figure out, God, what's going on? But then he would go back to, God, I accept what you got going on. God, I accept it because I know that you know more than I know, right? Let us all say it. God knows more then I know. All right? So when we're going through life, we have to remember that. We have to accept that and not reject that. So it talked about one of the verse 43 was a very powerful statement. It's almost a transferring of the kingdom of God when he says, therefore, I say to you, the kingdom of God will be taken from you and given to a nation bearing the fruits of it. What does that mean? What does that mean? That means that if you are not bearing fruits of the gospel in your life, he's going to give it to somebody else. Now, in this sense, it was Israel, because Israel thought they were the only people that were going to get this. But Jesus is saying, nah, look, I tried to give it to you, but you're not working this thing right. And if you're not working it right, I'm going to give it to somebody that works it right. Now, as a coach, there's some kids that are in the game and they're playing great. There's other kids that are in the game that are not playing great. And I tell them, listen, if you do that one more time, guess what? I'm going to take you out and I'm going to put somebody else in that can do it. Right? It's the same thing that God does. Now, when you take that kid out, you use that as a lesson to help them. So next time when you go in, make sure you don't do that. And then they say, yeah, I want to play. Okay, cool. I had one kid on the team. She kept throwing the ball up in the air to pass it to people. I don't know why she was doing that. It was frustrating me. And I said, listen, if you do that one more time, I'm going to take you out. She did it again. Sup? Get her. Come here. Come here. And I told you not to throw the ball like that. Guess what? After that, the rest of the season, she didn't throw another pass like that. Why? Because she learned from it, right? It's important that we learn from what God teaches us. Amen. Verse 45 says, now when the chief priests and the Pharisees heard his parables, they perceived that he was speaking of them. So look, they got it. They got the parable. Do you guys catch that? They knew that they were talking. Jesus is talking about them. But they still rejected it. Why? Because they didn't accept him as the Son of God. They just, oh man, this dude is making up stories about. We know who you're talking about, Jesus. You're talking about us. But guess what? Their hearts were not pricked to say, I need to repent. Instead, their hearts were filled with envy and wanted to destroy Jesus. It says in the last verse of this chapter that, but when they sought to lay hands on him, they feared the multitudes because they took him for a prophet. Now, what we see is the multitudes honored God only as a prophet at this point. And a prophet was one of the highest things that they knew how to honor, right? But they feared the people. You guys catch that? If it wasn't for the people, they would have killed Jesus right there. But they want people to honor them. But they don't want to honor God. We talked about that. People want respect, but they don't want to respect other people. And it doesn't work like that, right? We must respect who God is, and we must respect the fact that he has sent us here to show the world how to respect others. Amen? It is very important that we do that. Let's go to one more verse. We're going to go to Hebrews chapter 12. And somebody say discipline. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 3 through 11. Now, A lot of people do not like the word discipline, right? I didn't like it growing up. Why? Because it would be great to just be free to do whatever you want to do. But guess what? That's not how life works. There has to be guidelines. There has to be boundaries, right? I talked about sports. In sports, there's boundaries. Guess what? If there was no out of bounds, people could run all the way around. They can run and it wouldn't work. Right. But sometimes we think life is like that. Like, oh, I can just do whatever. But guess what? God disciplines. Right. And he's creating guidelines for us to live by. And guess what? It's not to harm you. It's to show you the way to go. Amen. It says right here in verse 3 of Hebrews chapter 12, for consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your soul. You have not yet resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin. And verse 5 says, and you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons. All right. And this is what he's talking about. They've forgotten. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. Have anybody ever been rebuked by God? Right. What does that look like? Oh, God is you were trying to do something and God says no. Sometimes that's a harsh rebuke. God, but I want to do it, God. I think it's cool. I really want to do this. And God's like, no. Right? Why does God do that? Because God knows better than you. I just said that God, the Bible says his ways are higher than ours. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. But sometimes when we're in the midst of something, when we say, man, I really want to do this. God, it would be great if I can just do the, and God is saying, no, don't do that. That's gonna destroy you. That's why it's important for believers to continue to build our relationship with God. So when God tells you no, you know that, okay, God must have something better for me. There must be a door that God wants me to walk in. Amen. It says this. Verse 6, for whom the Lord loves, he chastens. All right. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure the chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? Okay, so chasten, once again, is another word for discipline. Okay. Now, if I just let my kids do whatever they wanted to do, I wouldn't be a good dad. Right? Why do I say that? Because they won't know the right things to do. Guess what? A 5-year-old kid does not know what's best for his life. Right? Check it out. I'll give you an example. My kids, one day, they were like, can we have candy? And I was like, yeah, eat all the candy you want. Go ahead, just get the candy and eat it. Yeah, go ahead, eat it, right? And they're eating it, right? And I was using this to teach them a lesson, right? Because they didn't want to eat their dinner. They wanted to eat candy. Go ahead, eat your candy. And then Markella was like, why is Dad doing this to us? She went and told on me, Mom, Dad said we can eat all the candy that we want, right? And then I told him, see, what happens is if you eat candy like that, it'll hurt your stomach. Right now, I didn't let them eat that much candy, but I was trying to show them you have to have guidelines in eating candy. You got to have guidelines in eating sweets. Yeah. Right? You eat too much sweets, your stomach hurting, you'll feel weird. Right? Just like if you don't eat your vegetables, you don't have the strength that you need. Now my kids don't want to eat vegetables. Dad, what's this green stuff on my plate? That's what they say. It's broccoli. It helps you get strong. Can I be real? I hated vegetables growing up. But guess what? I ate them. And the way that I ate them, I would just put them with the meat or whatever and just hurry up and get it done with. First thing, eat the vegetables, just get it done with. Hallelujah. Why? Because my parents taught me that vegetables are important. They will give you the strength that you need. If I didn't teach my kids that, they will try to learn on their own. God says that he doesn't want you to learn on your own. He wants to show you so that you can be the best you that you can possibly be. That's what the word of God does. It teaches us, it trains us to honor who God is and honor what he is saying. It says, if you endure the chastening, he will treat you as his sons or daughters, right? If you accept the rebuke from God, It helps you. Now, we talked about the other story. They didn't accept the rebuke from God. They heard the rebuke, right? They heard the rebuke, and they said, we're going to get that guy. We're going to destroy God, Jesus, because he's talking about us. So they heard the rebuke, right? And it's crazy. I didn't even, like, I had these scriptures, and I love how God works. I didn't even catch how it was going to work like that. But they did not accept the rebuke, and they left, ready to destroy God. Some of us, we get rebuked by God, and we're mad at God. God, man, look, I could do this on my own, like, for real. What begins to happen is you put yourself in a place where you are higher than God, right? Which, when we talked about atheism, that's really what that means. Atheism, theism means God, right? So if you put it together, atheism, you're a God. Crazy, right? But you cannot be higher than God. Because once again, the chief cornerstone, you're either going to be built upon it or he's going to crush you and it's going to destroy you. Right? Verse 8 says, but if you are without chastening, of which all you have become partakers, then you are not illiterate. Then you are illegitimate and not sons. Okay. So once again, Jesus tells them you must accept it, the rebuke. If you don't accept the rebuke, you are not his sons. What does that mean? You cannot be a believer if you don't accept the rebuke from God. What is that rebuke? Is first off, you're a sinner. You are wrong. Guess what? You want to hear some more of the rebuke? You're messed up, right? Your thinking is jacked up. You stink, right? We got to think about all this stuff that we are. That's the rebuke. Now, guess what? Sometimes we don't even want to say that kind of stuff to people because, oh, it might hurt their feelings, right? Now, I'm not telling you to be rude, but for us to understand that we are in need of a Savior, we have to admit that we are sinners. The bad thing is that nowadays people, and it's been like this for years, people don't believe they are sinners. So guess what they do? Do they accept the Savior or reject the Savior? They reject. They eject, right? They get rid of because they don't want the rebuke. But God says, if you accept the rebuke, you will be my children. Let me finish reading this, verse 9 through 11, and we'll be done for today. It says, furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Somebody say respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? So it's saying, if we honor our fathers who corrected us, then we should honor God, who is the Father of all spirits, right? Which means us. And he's not just all spirits. It says the spirits that live and live. Okay, so it's important that we do that. It says in verse 10, for they indeed for a few days chastised us as seemed best to them. But he, for our profit, somebody say profit. What does profit mean? Okay, benefit, right? You would not go to work if it didn't profit you. Or you, let me rephrase it like this: you should not go to a job that doesn't profit you. Okay, that's like you going to work 40 hours and you come home and when it's time to get paid, it says you owe them. Okay, right? That's crazy. But it says God chastised us, or like I said, he disciplines us for the profit. And he doesn't just say the profit. He says our profit. that we may be partakers of his holiness. Now, guess what? What that does show us is that when you are disciplined and you accept it, you begin to walk in what God wants you to walk in. Because now you are walking in the guidelines that God has created for you. Amen? Verse 11 says, now, and this is for real, we think about this. Now, no chastising or discipline seems to be joyful when it's happening. Can we get a witness? Anybody ever got a spanking and was like, hey, this don't feel good? Right? You ever got sat down in a timeout and you were like, I don't want to do this? Right? But guess what? It says it doesn't feel good. It feels painful. Then it says, nevertheless, afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Man, this is crazy. You are trained by discipline. Catch that? Now, if we're working out, if we go work out and we have no self-discipline, our workouts won't help us. Right? Or let's say we work out, but we have no self-discipline in what we eat. It will do you no good. And I've been there. Has anybody else been there? You working out and I'm working out so many hours a week and nothing happens. It's because you keep eating donuts, cupcakes, right? Or things that are not helping you lose weight. I talked about this a couple months ago, how football players found out that certain vegetables made them gain weight and certain vegetables made them lose weight. So they said, hey, we're going to get rid of this vegetable and just take this vegetable. Why? Because they have a discipline to the T. You guys, I don't know if you guys remember AP. AP, you go to his house, he's not eating fried chicken while he was training, right? He's eating spinach. I was like, what is this, man? Like, what are you eating? But what it showed me is that he was so self-disciplined in what he would eat, because he wanted it to benefit him, right? There is some athletes that might eat cheeseburgers from McDonald's every day. But guess what? That's not going to help them in the long run. Those kind of athletes end up out the league, right? Somehow. Why? Because they didn't prepare their body. But we must prepare our temples to honor God by accepting the rebuke from God. Amen? Now, let me clarify something. That doesn't mean that everybody that says something to rebuke you is always of God. Sometimes people are going to say things that are of themselves, right? But you have to remember, if somebody says something to you and says, hey, you should not do that, go to the Word of God and see if that lines up with the Word of God. Amen? Amen? Because sometimes we get afraid of rebukes, and sometimes the body of Christ has misused rebukes. But we must make sure we accept the rebuke that God has sent us. And that's not always a good thing. It doesn't feel good. But guess what? It's going to help you. It's going to train you to produce fruits of righteousness. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you, dear God, for your word today. God, I thank you for it, even for myself, dear God. I pray, dear God, that we walk in you, dear God. I thank you, dear God, that your spirit speaks to us and brings the word of God to remind us the ways that we're going and to correct us. Dear God, so I just pray to God that today, dear God, that we accept what you have. We respect who you are in our lives. Dear God, that we honor you with our whole being. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Let the church say, amen, amen. If that was impactful to you, go ahead and slip your hand up. Praise God. Up high to the sky. No, just pray. God is good. Don't forget, once again, just a reminder, New Creation Christian Center Cares Ministry is going to be going on tomorrow. Did you guys have a family already? Dad, family for tomorrow? Okay, so we'll just be praying that God leads us to the right house. Amen? All right. We are dismissed. God bless you guys.
We thank you for listening to today's sermon, and we pray that you are impacted to become the new creation that God desires. We at New Creation Christian Center invite you to come join us for service Saturday at 7 p.m. or Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington. Also, feel free to visit us online at newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.